fans in a mad, mad world. You are now listening to The Madness Collective.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 15 of the Madness Collective. Madness topics today are the Cleveland kidnapping victims, Charles Ramsey, a couple other things. I just don't remember what they are right now. So, NRA, you're crazy. Introducing quickly my co-host, Ms. Tina McDowell.
Hey.
Mr. Antoine Cohen.
Hello.
And we have a special guest today, Michael Garwood.
Hello.
And today's featured artist will be Daft Punk. All right, so do we not
get lucky, bitches.
Do we have any housekeeping items from us?
I don't remember. It's been one in a week. I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm going to put it out there right now. Okay, Tina Tina is sponging off Antoine's face. Yeah. It's a little warm in here.
For the very first time, and so I can't have him greasy.
Okay, for real, we're getting started. Bear with us today. Today is an interesting episode. Things are a little...
I got drunk last night.
We're just doing a lot. We're doing a lot today. All right, quickly.
And I'm drinking again.
We're going to get started with segment one.
And I'm okay with that.
Our first topic, the Cleveland kidnapping victim. So, three young women, Amanda Berry, Gina
De Jesus. It is not De Jesus.
I was not going to say
Jesus.
De Jesus.
It's not De Jesus.
I was not going to say De Jesus. And Michelle Knight were newly freed from a decade-long kidnapping ordeal in Cleveland.
10 years, dude.
Where they were in dungeon-like squalid confines of a house where they were raped, starved, beaten, kept in chains by a man who abducted them. Their accused tormentor, Ariel Castro, he's 52. He's a veteran school bus driver. He's formally charged on Wednesday with kidnapping and raping the women. And one of the women, Amanda Berry, gave birth to a daughter who is now six.
That shit is wild.
It is out bus of drivers. Control.
Who gonna date her now?
Driver.
Like, after that, like...
Really? That's where you're going? Who gonna date her now?
That's your first comment?
I mean,
I'm just saying, like... Yeah, that's,
I'm not into... don't want to date anybody.
I'm not into single moms.
Michael! Oh, my goodness.
Single moms who are raising their rapist child?
My first comment is... heavy. 10 years, I'm wondering if they liked it. Was it like some
sadomasochism? Oh, my God!
What's the condition?
Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm. Okay. Stockholm had to set in, but had Stockholm set in, I don't think she would have tried. She wouldn't have ran away.
Yeah.
So she didn't have Stockholm. She knew it in 10 years. Like,
so a couple
this is
things.
Fucked up, and I don't like him.
I don't like him at all.
A couple things.
He did something wrong.
Let's kind of stick a little bit to the facts.
10 years, y'all. I'm sorry. But
that's
10 years,
a long
I can't get
time.
Over 10 years.
I mean, I'm with you. It is astonishing. It is amazing. First of all, he kept them locked up initially in the basement. He kept them separate from each other.
Which is
then, and then he would do, he would fuck with them. He would say, I'm leaving, and then see what would happen. And then, like, he wouldn't leave. He'd come back and beat them if somebody moved.
I don't. Do you think someone could lock you up for 10 years? Because I don't think it could happen to me.
I'm going
to
kill myself.
It's hard to say. I mean,
if they have the right resources, yes, they can fucking lock you up for 10 years. Yes, they could.
If you're restrained the entire time, it's pretty easy to control you.
Right.
And then it could definitely happen. It could It could definitely happen.
More astonishing is 10 years went by and nobody saw anything.
They only came outside twice and they had to wear wigs and sunglasses.
Yeah. One of the women was pregnant 5 times and he forced her to miscarry.
Punched her in the stomach and starved her.
That made me cry.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I was like, "Oh."
Who gave birth, she gave birth in a kiddie pool.
Yeah,
he delivered his child. That is just out of control. This whole scenario, and the neighbors are like, "We cannot believe we live next door to this.
We eat ribs with this dude.
We eat ribs.
We listen to salsa with this motherfucker."
I was trying to give us a minute to step into Charles Ramsey, but fine, let's go. We'll stop Ramsey.
I think we can. There's still a lot to talk about with this Castro guy.
There's a bunch of stories. So the other part of the story is the Mr. Charles Ramsey, the colorful neighbor who helped rescue her. It was him and another guy who helped break down the door, got her out, called 911. So he's already become an internet sensation, viral sensation. He's already been auto-tuned. He's been interviewed by Anderson Cooper and George Stephanopoulos. And there's been mad commentary about how do we deal with this now? Is he cooning? Is it okay to laugh at him? Like, is he capitalizing off of this? So
he's not Cooney, and I'll tell
you, I don't think he is either.
When
honestly.
I got
help,
the link,
help
for
me
the,
on that.
No, yeah, what does Cooney? Is
yeah, you know what Cooney is. It's like Amos and Andy, like you're right. Shucking and jiving shucking for the white okay. people.
I got you.
So when he knew what it meant,
that's fine. Explain. Because some people don't.
I've taught him well. I'm shit, adding, he teaches me every now and then.
Actually, it was for the listeners. I'm adding.
Right.
You're right. No, good call.
Can we explain why you're teaching him? Because he's our first white.
Yeah, this is our first. First white guest. Ever, it's yeah. We have our token white guest finally showed yes. up, and yes. I'm very excited about it. Yes. Right? This is one of my really good friends. I've known him for almost 15 years.
Yeah,
almost 15 years.
I will admit,
we worked at Best Buy together.
If you count prison.
We've, you worked.
We've
at Best
moved.
Buy?
We've moved down very different paths. At any rate, the reason I don't feel like he's cooning is because when I was initially sent the video, you know, you
which
get a
one
still,
the first reporter, the first, local reporter,
the first, yeah, the very first one,
yeah.
You know, YouTube has a still. So I saw the still and I'm like, this is Sweet Brown's long lost yeah. uncle. It's about to go down. Then when it started, honestly, had I closed my eyes and not watched.
Yes.
I would have. He was very articulate.
Yeah.
He was very articulate.
He's very lucid, intelligent.
Yes. And he was comical. It was funny. I loved it. It wasn't. As opposed to like a Sweet Brown or Antoine Dotson, where it was obvious like they were playing it up. He started out and you could tell he got excited. He became animated. Yeah. It was very natural.
See, I actually don't think, I feel like Antoine Dotson was just, that's just who he is. Now,
no,
Sweet
you're
Brown,
right.
Sweet Brown was a little bit extra.
Yeah, she was extra.
Now, but that Kabooya woman, I feel like
yeah, that's
that was.
That's
yeah,
Cooney.
That's
Cooney.
She was Cooney.
She's a raccoon.
Michael,
I don't
did
know
you see the Kabooya woman?
That's why nobody knows, because it didn't catch on, because everybody could tell it was inauthentic.
So in this, this genre, there's been several people. We've already mentioned Antoine Dodson, Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife, Sweet right. Brown. Ain't nobody got time for that. And so now the latest is the Charles Ramsey. But I agree with you, Antoine, that I don't, we black people are a colorful race.
Yes.
We are. We are great storytellers. We are natural yes. storytellers. We are expressive by nature. So I had a long conversation with a friend last night because there was another podcast who was talking about he's tired of us cooning, but a camera. And I was like, I don't think that's what he's doing.
No, he definitely
I think if you listen to the 911 call, I mean, that's
yes.
just how he's
thinking.
Yeah,
sincere.
That's just how he
it
is.
Was very
there was
sincere.
No camera on him at that time, so
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think he really stepped outside of himself
yeah.
to kind of be something he's not. I just yeah. think he's a character, and then everyone has turned him into a caricature. So
yeah, they are cutting grass outside. We're kicking it at Tina's new place, and
there's a lot going on today that I am unhappy about.
There's some Mexican dudes across the street taking care of shrubbery. Why they got it? Because they are Mexican. I'm just saying, it's a declarative statement, motherfucker.
There's a lot going on today.
There are no Negroes across the street cutting shrubs. There are Mexicans.
It's a lot that's driving me crazy.
I love Mexicans. What the fuck? I'm Mexican. Shit.
Great disclaimer.
Okay.
Hola.
So,
hola.
So,
you know, they are the most powerful population right now
yes.
Coming up. So
you
have to be
focused.
We need you to download our podcast, Mexicans. Please love us. Sorry. You should see Chris.
We have to have a Mexican guest. Oh, I know a bunch of Mexican people.
I know tons
so, yeah.
of Mexicans.
Charles Ramsey. We're not done talking about Charles Ramsey. We're not. We are right. so not done.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, let's talk about the guy who kidnapped the girls. Can we talk about him?
We were trying to, but then y'all took Charles Ramsey.
We better stay with Charles.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You're going to win my heart anytime you call a newscaster bro.
Yes.
Especially when he called George Stephanopoulos
yeah.
bro. I'm like, yeah. George Stephanopoulos has never been called bro in his entire life. Yeah, exactly.
We have to remember, I'm going to say this on the air, to not talk over each other. We got to remember that. Because you were the one who doesn't like it.
Yeah.
It's a problem. Mm. So, no, you're right, Michael. Him, bro, that's just how he speaks. He's friendly with everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I want to point out, so there's been a couple things. One, he doesn't want a reward.
Right.
He said he's not a hero. He says he's just a Christian. He did what you were supposed to do.
Right.
In that situation.
He wants the money to go to the victims.
Which I love.
Which is amazing.
That's
incredibly
incredible.
Humble
and love that.
Unassuming.
I don't know. I'm wondering if he's just smart, if he knows to say that, and that's a smart thing to do.
Do you think so? Did you watch
it? I don't think anyone would have issue with him taking
it. Wait. You know what? Tina has a point, because now we've been exposed to this culture enough where he knows what his background is because he is articulate. People see him, and I'm like, all you got to do is cut off the blowout and replace the tooth, and then he looks like a force to be reckoned with. But you see him in his current state, and he looks like a dumb Negro.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so people make a lot of assumptions. He is smart enough. Were it me, I would already know. You have to say, no, it's about the victims. Yes. I was just a pawn.
I think
you
he's know, very
God
smart.
Put me in the right place at the right time.
I'm not giving him that much credit.
No, I'm giving him that much credit. I really am.
These people
I,
are smart. They're smart. He knows what he's doing.
He's not stupid.
Michael, that's
no,
what I'm saying.
I don't get that vibe from him. I don't think he's been handled or coached or at all.
That's what he
at
wants.
At least in what I've seen.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's been coached. It's all play? I don't think he's been coached.
Here's the thing.
The money is different from getting a sponsorship, though.
He would get both. There's absolutely nothing. I don't see any negativity coming from him taking the money.
The one makes you more genuine, though, because if you accept these rewards, then people, that's when they connect the reward with your past. He accept, oh, he got paid all this, and then he beat his wife. Even the ex-wife came forward and said, forgive him. I forgive him.
You're jumping ahead. That's what I'm saying. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. So the other thing that's happened is that they've now, Smoking Gun came out with, like, he has a past. He was.
Who doesn't?
Some outlets reported earlier this week he served jail time for 3 separate felony convictions for domestic violence, and that his record also includes convictions for drug abuse, criminal trespassing, and receiving stolen property. That's what Antoine was talking about, is that now his past has been brought forward, and you know, can he still be considered a hero? So there's been
of
all that conversation.
Yes,
I agree.
Can.
No, I think it's bullshit that they
act
did
is
that.
Heroic.
They dug that
it
up.
Doesn't matter if you killed 8 people, if you save a life. Yeah, you killed 8 people, but you. That was a heroic.
I agree.
It doesn't matter.
And I think that was in his past. Like,
yeah.
Everybody has a past.
Yeah.
And then also, I know once black men in particular get caught up in the system, shit looks a lot worse on paper than actually what really went down. So I don't know what happened between him and his wife, but as you point out, Antoine,
she acknowledged,
his wife said that was in his past.
She said people do change.
Exactly.
And that was in his past.
That
and I
beautiful.
Love that she said
I'm glad
that
she did that too.
Well, I don't condone the stuff he's done in the past, but that doesn't negate the fact that he got these women out of the house.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I gotta believe, and we talked about this in the beginning, I have to believe somebody saw something over the course of 10 years and did nothing.
Crazy?
So at least he did what everyone is supposed to do and do something. Like the term hero, I have a bit of an issue with as well, because I think we throw that around too much.
We do.
Yeah.
I think what he did was brave, because he could have easily turned it.
Brave
turned
is
an
a eye. Brave is a better word.
Would every single one of y'all would have done exactly what I would have done it.
I think if you heard someone screaming, help
me. I'd have been screaming and going the fuck off. It's a bitch in this house and she's trapped.
Me too.
I'd have been screaming.
We all would have done the same thing, I think. So.
And I'll tell you what the distinction that I make between the two, brave can be used in a broader sense. When I think of a hero is someone puts, to me, their own life at risk to help someone else out.
Yeah.
That's why I think firemen, policemen, our guys in the military, I think that's why we use the term hero, and it's extremely applicable. He was not risking his life. Well, I mean, maybe he was. We don't know if the guy was in there with the gun. He didn't know, but I don't think this is the same thing. So he's very brave. Hero, I think, may be extreme, again, because we use it. We use hero in a broad sense in the same way that we say brave, and they're not the same thing.
All right.
The only reason why I think that he's thinking ahead and kind of plotting on some things is the fact that in the first phone call, you hear him and he's like, I have no idea who this woman is. And then as time goes on, all of a sudden the story changes. I can't believe they found
the girl.
He knew who
she was.
He's really playing off of some things.
I'll cop to each time he tells the story, there's a little bit of a change here and there.
That's not a little change. That's a big change to go from you didn't know who the fuck this woman was. And you said, I'm like, when he's being interviewed, he's like, I'm like, Amanda Berry, the chick that was... Oh, I'm like, fuck, is this really her? And I'm...
Yeah.
I still... I don't care. I don't...
He's probably got some... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
He's probably got someone in his ear now, too.
He does.
So. I'm sure he does.
But all this happened. All this happened very quickly. It was the first reports. The first reports were on Monday.
Like 4 days.
The first reports were on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Tuesday, he was with George Stephanopoulos and Anderson Cooper. So there might be somebody's ear, but not quite that quickly. So if anything, as one of our friends noted in our email thread, let's hope he gets his teeth fixed. He owes that. He's owed that. No,
you
I'm
saw
like,
me.
Talk.
I was like,
real
somebody
talk.
Mentioned something. I said, I just need the tooth to be replaced.
Okay, so moving on. In NRA news, the NRA had their annual convention, I think last weekend or something like that. They were selling Obama zombies and ex-girlfriend targets. So the Obama zombie was actually not called that. The name of it was Rocky, but someone else said that they actually did name him Barry. And another guy, when asked about it, said, yeah, I actually gave one to my father, who's a Republican, for Christmas.
Right.
So really?
Then the ex-girlfriend one, that's what she's called. She's called the ex-girlfriend zombie. So she's a shooting target for your rifle, just, you know, to shoot at. That's a problem. Violence against women is real talk. Michael?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were calling it the zombie Rocky.
His official
Barry
name
online.
Was Rocky, yeah, right. But like in circles, yeah, he was called Barry.
There's a resemblance there.
There
and
is.
To touch, I mean, you want to talk about the ex-girlfriend thing. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's tacky and in poor taste, and I mean, somehow zombifying something makes it okay to kill it, but even though it's technically already dead.
Zombify is a word now.
It is now. Well, you're welcome, Websters. And yeah, it's just tacky. And then, you know, to get to talk about the Rocky, the supposed Obama zombie, you know, this thing about defacing presidents and this lack of respect right. for the presidency in general.
Yeah.
This hasn't just started with him. I mean, you can even go back to Bush.
Oh, but, yeah. They but admit, too, totally.
Now, will you admit that it's fucking off the charts this time?
There's a lot of it.
It's fucking different because I wasn't a fan of Bush. This shit that's happening with this dude, it's on another level because it's like, it's a nigga in the White House. It really is. It's on another level. And the fact that we, as much as we didn't like George Bush, we would have never thought to fucking put a likeness of him on a goddamn zombie that you use for target practice. We never took it to that
maybe
level.
Maybe we're just not that creative.
No, I don't think we would have taken it to that level.
Disrespectful of Bush. We were ultra disrespectful of Bush.
I will say this.
I've just went through two mind frames. My first mind frame when I saw all this and you're talking about it is I'm like, damn, that's effed up. How dare they do that? All the issues with women and abuse, that's terrible. Shooting Obama, how terrible that is. And then my next mindset just went to, if that is a release, if that's how they get their release, if that's the healthy way so they can release it and then move on, then so be it. Let them move on.
Now, I think any human formed target is a bad idea.
Growing up where I grew up,
we shot animal targets, and it's just, even if it's a zombie, it's just, I think it's a bad idea.
So one statistic, every day at least 3 women are killed by an intimate partner in the U.S. alone. So again, mm-hmm. just the women against violence part, the Obama target. I'm with you, Michael. I just think it's a bad idea.
But they still exist. Bad. They just, the girlfriend, all they did was change the color. It's green now. It's still a female.
Are you talking about, because they've discontinued it, but you're saying.
Yeah, initially, before they discontinued it, they changed the color from flesh color to green.
Zombified.
That was their way to make it like different.
Michael, yeah. I'm agreeing with you. Of course, it's horrendous, but people are violent. That's the truth of our culture.
And when you shoot a person.
There needs to be some healing done on such a deep level.
Okay,
that's
my
just
point,
not there
my
yet.
Point in bringing it up is this helping the NRA's cause or not?
Oh, it is not helping them
it
at
is
all.
Not
no,
helping.
They should have pulled the product
helping.
Immediately from, right. their, from the event.
So where is this soul? Is this soul like
I thought
on
they did, though. I thought as soon as they became aware of it.
The article said after 2 days.
Oh, 2 days.
And they were still selling it behind the counter.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
It was behind the counter being sold. Yeah. Like you could buy.
Like you could ask for it or something.
Oh. Yeah, because after the event, you could still buy it. Even though they pulled it from the event, it was still available online and at the actual physical store. So
there are 2 films coming out this weekend.
Oh, damn. We're
moving on.
We have to.
Why are we so violent, though? I just don't understand. But sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry. But that just bothers me. Why do we want to kill each other? I don't get that. That's my issue in life. That's
we do come from a culture where white people used to hang and shoot black people and they didn't get convicted of doing so. So
yeah, sorry about that.
Thank you for apologizing.
My bad.
That's all we ever asked for. Thank you for just saying sorry.
I remind him
arguing.
Every couple months. I'm like, you motherfucker.
So you think that's why we're so violent? Because years ago, we were violent.
Two movies that are coming out this weekend. One is called Peoples, and it's starring Kerry Washington, Craig Robinson, David Alan Greer, Diane Carroll, and our friend Kimry Davis
now.
Yeah, exactly.
Kimry Davis is in it. Kimry, shout out to you. I'm going to tag you on Facebook.
I want to tell you right now, it is written and directed by ATL and Drumline writer Tina Gordon Chisholm. It is not written and directed by Tyler Perry. He is simply producing it. It is not. It's presented by, produced by.
It's like Precious then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
They are doing
a disservice to this movie.
You are correct.
It looks like a Tyler Perry movie.
And
I was
not.
Shocked because I'm like, Kerry Washington would do a fucking Tyler Perry. Because you have to take a pay cut to do a Tyler Perry movie.
You do.
You do.
He's correct.
Yes.
But you're right. It is not. I wanted to put that out there.
Can I just say
something to Michael real quick? A lot of black people have a problem with Tyler Perry. I'm not one of them. Do you know about this? Do you have a problem with Tyler Perry as well?
I now have a problem knowing you have to take a pay cut to work for him.
But before then, Jesus. Just I'm curious. Don't even listen to that. That's a bias.
No, I'm not a fan of his movies.
It's not a bias.
But
have
you ever seen one of his movies?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which one did you see?
Oh, Jesus.
So
What was the one?
You gotta be able to pinpoint it because
no. Why did I marry my wife?
Why did I get married? Oh, yeah. You saw the first one or the second one?
Both, unfortunately.
Second one was so bad.
Was it funny? Did you enjoy it?
No, wait. The first one. How did you feel about the first one? Okay.
The first one was okay. I was okay with it.
Yeah, first one was okay. All right.
There were some awkward moments.
The next movie is Great Gatsby. That's coming out. We're gonna talk about the soundtrack later.
I love it.
It was horrible.
You heard it was horrible.
It's a period piece. And you have rappers on the soundtrack and it's in 3D. It's the 1920s.
I don't like 3D. I'm not.
Well, I like 3D, but 3D works with like Michael Bay blowing shit up.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
If it's a period piece, I should not see a fucking Model T Ford in 3D.
I don't watch things in 3D.
As of right now, I'm excited to see it. I'm not going to listen to anybody else's news.
Yeah, I'm going to see it.
It's a mixture of old with new, and I love it. And so I'm looking forward. I love period pieces. I love the 1920s, 30s. I love all that. So I'm looking very forward to it. It looks so beautiful. I love the fashion,
it does look beautiful. Cars,
it's
Baz Luhrmann. I mean,
all right, next. Next topic.
But I don't need to see 3D Jitterbug.
I'm with you on that.
I don't know why people have such a problem with 3D.
I don't like 3D.
I'm going to say it in 3D.
I just don't like wearing the glasses. They're so cumbersome.
Okay, next topic. Crazy news. There was a disgruntled customer who received a threatening dildo after an in-store argument.
This is where they're all cut off.
They're all threatening to me.
Reading, and then I get to that point. I'm like drinking with friends last night. I'm like, I got to get some of this shit in.
Yeah.
And I get to that point, and then we go out. I'm like, fuck, I need to read this, and I didn't get to it.
Yeah, so tell us what the deal.
Mind you, I sent out the show flow Thursday afternoon on purpose to get it to you people in time.
I know you did.
I read it.
That was from Mike. That was from Mike.
Okay.
We didn't want our first white guest to feel like, you know, we do shit on CP time.
Tell us a little bit about the dildo. Was it a black dildo, a white dildo?
No,
it was a big black.
There was a man.
Nope.
There was a man who went to a Tractor Supply store to complain about a botched order. There were heated words that were exchanged with the store's managers, and eventually he was ordered to get out and don't come back. So he figured, this customer figured that was the end of it, but a few months later, he was surprised to receive an anonymous parcel, which he believes was sent by someone from the Tractor Supply store. This is what it said. Inside was an 8-inch dildo with the words, nice. Ralph is a dick. From the Tractor Supply Company, don't come back, was scribbled on it. All right, and with that, we're wrapping up segment one. Stay tuned.
Funny, I wouldn't even be mad.
For the record, Kerry Washington can't do a bad movie. Especially when she wears a schoolgirl outfit like this.
Wow. Thank you, Michael.
It's a trailer.
Thank you, Michael. Okay.
Before the nose job or after the nose job? Oh, I'm sorry, did I say that on tape?
Damn, Antoine.
Segment
that
two
shit
is over.
Got fixed. Bitches got told.
Stay tuned, we're coming right back with segment two. Literally, like right back. Here we are. Welcome back with segment two. We had a little bit of a snafu. Tina picked our featured artist for this week. It's
Daft Punk. It's an electronic music duo. It's consisting of two French musicians, Guy Manuel and Thomas Bangalter. What I love about Daft Punk, I don't know if you've heard their new song, Get Lucky. It's featured Pharrell.
And Niles Rogers.
Oh my gosh.
From Chic.
Yes. My guitarist, my Japanese guitarist who was on the episode last week, he's the one.
Taro knows all about Niles Rogers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he loves him. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I love Niles Rogers.
Oh, see, I'm new to this.
Anyway, I love Niles Rogers. Yeah, I know. I'm a big
Niles
Rogers.
You know, Dana Ross, Upside Down. You know, he also produced Like a Virgin.
Boy, turn me.
Like a Virgin. Madonna. That's Niles Rogers.
Thank you. If you were to look up his discography, you'll be like, what the hell?
He's not just a guitarist. He's a
producer. All those hot songs that we all know.
I wonder why. He's the greatest dancer. We are family. He did all the songs.
So what's his role with Daft Punk?
He's playing guitar on Get Lucky.
Thank you.
And that's what hooked Pharrell.
Do you see?
That's what hooked Pharrell because Pharrell explained that they had been trying to work with him for like a decade.
Pharrell's group had been trying to?
No. Daft Punk had been trying to work with Pharrell for like a decade. And he was like, you know, he's kind of esoteric. He's quirky. So when they mentioned Niles Rogers, No, nigga, y'all got Niles is playing on the song.
So that's what led Pharrell.
And he's like, I'm on it. I'm there. I think it's gonna be the song of the summer, actually.
Tina.
Oh, it so is. So when he first let me listen to it, my guitarist, Taro, I listened to it the first time. I was like, oh, this is catchy.
It's a nice little groove.
And then I start grooving. And then nice they played it at your birthday party. Yeah, they played it.
They sure
DJ Diallo played it. And I went crazy. It feels great. It's a feel-good song. It's one of those summer, spring songs. Yeah. It's going to be an absolute hit. But one of the Daft Punk, they produce so many songs. For example, the song that Kanye sampled, Stronger, Faster, Longer, Remember
that song? Harder, uh-huh. Better, Faster, Stronger.
That one. Uh-huh.
Stronger is the name of the song, yeah.
fuck you. Fuck you.
You love it when I drop hip-hop knowledge on you.
Well, you know what? Technically, Kanye's song is called Stronger.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
They did the music to Tron, The Legacy. Missy Elliott sampled them. Jasmine Sullivan. Jackson.
How long have they been around? That
Fun? 90s?
It was the late 90s.
Since the early 90s. But what's really interesting about them, they don't like to be seen. They don't want anybody. They wear helmets. They wear robot masks.
So that video, is that a real video that I found? Because I couldn't tell. It was so weird.
It's very weird. Promo that came out first, and you were like, is this a clip from the video? And then the video came out, and it had been pulled from the video. But their first song, it's funny that you mentioned this. Now, I didn't know who the feature artist was today, because I've had a really rough weekend.
Okay.
So on my way here,
Saturday afternoon,
we just started.
Yeah,
I sent out the show flow on Thursday.
I know.
Go.
So on my way here, I'm listening to, because I'm from Chicago, the main station there is called WGCI, and they used to have house music on Friday and Saturday nights. So I'm listening to Club 107.5. It's a mix from 1998. And I have to, it's like an hour and a half. I always go to the end, and it's a remix of Around the World by Daft Punk. That was their first big song.
Okay.
Around the World, Around the World. Uh-huh. So I'm listening to that on the way here, and it's just so funny. I was listening to it, and I didn't know who the featured artist was.
That's hilarious. So wait, they don't like to be seen. Are they hideous? Why? What's up with
no,
that?
No. The reason why is because they want the music. They want you to They want you to focus on music.
They don't want
it to be the whole celebrity scene.
I love that.
They don't want women coming up to them just because of the music.
Okay.
Yeah
they really want you to just love the music. I'm sorry, women coming up to them because of their celebrity. They want people to come up to them for the music.
They perform in those fucking masks.
They do.
They really?
When they do a concert, they have fucking Android masks.
When they do interviews,
nobody knows what they look
when
like.
When they do interviews, that's
so. Who were the people on their video? I mean, I'm sorry, on their website. If you go to their website, there are people giving interviews. I think Niles Rogers is one of them.
Yeah, those are people they collaborate with.
Oh.
Daft Punk are the ones.
We still don't know what they actually look like.
Nobody knows what they look like.
Oh my god, Michael Garwood, are you Daft Punk?
I'm one half.
I'm the daft one. Do you know what daft means?
No, what does
daft mean? Is like crazy, like over the top, whatever. It's an English term.
Yes.
And it's used for like that made it so daft. Like it's a term. It means like crazy.
Supposedly,
and they were called Daft Punks.
There is one interview where you can see them. You can find it on YouTube somewhere.
Really? That's really early. It's probably early. Yeah, early.
And they did a huge Gap ad too recently. So
I didn't know that.
But I think they might still have on the mask.
Michael, you're familiar with the song? You like it?
Yeah. Absolutely. I actually had heard it before I knew it was going to be the topic today.
Yeah, they've been playing it. I think they've either been playing it on the radio, but I know I've kept hearing it because I knew it when you sent it to us. Yeah. I knew about it.
It's a jam.
But it was played at my birthday party last weekend, which was epic.
Which was fun.
All right, Tina, so why did you decide to pick them?
Simply because it just feels good. Okay. It's just a feel-good song, and I love it. And if you listen to the lyrics, like in the very beginning, I'm going to study them. I'm going to download them. But there's a huge spiritual message that they try to deliver as well. So I'm just going to let you all listen to it and look at it yourselves. But Daft Punk is deep.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I didn't get all that from it.
No,
I'm like,
listen,
shit feels good.
No, listen to
Maybe
the beginning lyrics.
Jesus is one of Daft Punk.
Is Jesus a Daft Punk?
No, Jesus. I'm not talking about religion, organized religion. I'm talking about spirituality. And if you listen to the beginning lyrics, you'll be like, wow. Okay.
I just like it because it makes my toe tap.
Exactly. That's what's so great about it.
I might be.
Listen. That's why I liked it, because it made my toe tap. And then when I started listening to the lyrics, it probably the fourth time I heard it, I was like, wow, they're trying to drop some knowledge on us.
I like the 70s vibe of it.
It harkens back.
Yes, I did. I'm educating
she
motherfuckers.
She used the word harkens.
I reckon she did.
Back. I'm like, the Harvard is creeping through.
They clown me, Michael. They clowned me when I said harkens.
Yeah. She was engrossed. She was so into this thought. And she's like, it harkens back to when me and Danielle, who was our guest
that week.
It is weird that you have your Harvard degree on your business card.
We turned each other. We were like, this episode harkens.
Yeah, I was like, do you?
I don't have business cards.
Oh, but look.
I believed it for a second.
You can't always. You know what? Because he's so trustworthy when he lies.
Because white people are trustworthy.
She looked. She was like, damn, do I have one?
White people are trustworthy.
I like Daft Punk because being from Chicago, I grew up with house music. And these French motherfuckers, they know how to make house music better than people.
They do.
House music is transitioning into a place now when people say house music, it means so different. It means so many different things to different people.
Yeah.
And when I hear people, even the word techno started in Detroit.
Yep.
When you hear a Britney Spears song, Lady Gaga, people will they'll explain it as being techno-ish.
Yeah.
Huh. And it's not.
Yeah,
when
I wouldn't
say
that.
You think of like inner city, you think of that punk. That's house and that's techno. So yeah, I appreciate them because they actually epitomize what house music is.
Yeah.
And a lot of French acts do that. Basement Jacks do that very well also.
Yeah. So Kristen isn't going to like this, but I'm going to say it real quick. Just 10 seconds. Okay, stop saying Rush, okay? It messes my head up. Okay,
I don't care. We are on a time schedule.
I just want to say these producers had me do a song recently, and it's being played in Forever 21. It's a house music. It's house music.
I need you to stop doing that.
I don't care. I don't care. Tina, get your thought out.
Nothing.
Who was it that they were playing?
I just recorded a song that's being played in Forever 21. It's a house
music.
I recorded a song that's being played in Forever 21. Okay,
that is awesome.
That mixtape is going to be all house.
Okay. At some point, we will feature Tina as one of our featured artists whenever she's
house
ready
works.
For that.
Feature her
more than you already do?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, no, definitely. Musically.
Musically. You're funny, Michael. I love Michael. Michael's awesome.
Excuse me.
See, he's got a little dick in him.
You wish.
He's got a little dick in him. Okay.
Other.
Jesus, we're going there, huh?
Other.
He's got nice hands. I don't think he has a little dick.
Oh, my God. Other songs that came out, the videos that came out this week.
I actually have no idea. I've never seen it.
The Great Gatsby soundtrack. There's a sampler that's available that I actually thought was brilliant. As Antoine likes to clown me about snippets, but I actually think it's a good, like, sort of quick overview of the video, of the soundtrack. Emily Sandé is on there.
Oh, great.
Emily Sandé did a single. She did Crazy in Love. She did a remix of Crazy in Love.
How does it sound? Do you like it?
I like it, actually. But I love her.
You like her. She pretty much could do no wrong.
Yeah, she really, that's true.
She would really have to fuck it up for Preston to be
really,
like,
really
my titty hurt. I didn't like it. Like, it would really have to be fucked up.
Or she'd have to be in a Lil Wayne song.
You made me a fan of her.
I love her to death.
I love her, too.
Beyonce and Andre 3000, they did Amy Winehouse's Back to
Black. A lot of people do not like that cover.
I like it.
I haven't heard it yet. They play it in part of the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because they have multiple trailers. One of the trailers actually plays the song.
Really?
And I think Andre doesn't rap on it, does he? Does he sing?
It's a little rap singy.
It's kind of rap singy.
It's that combo thing.
Okay. I actually haven't heard it in its entirety. I just know fucking Lana Del Rey is on that motherfucker.
I love her,
too. She irritates me.
Really? I love her.
Do you know how manufactured this woman is?
Yeah, well, it happens.
What's her biggest hit?
She has I put one on one of the CDs I gave you, but you probably did not listen to it.
Probably the soundtrack.
I just like the ignorant.
No. Lana's one of those artists. Lana does not have a hit song.
She had one.
Not in the top 10. Not top 10 Billboard.
It wasn't top 10, but she had. It was played on TV shows.
That's what happens. When songs are featured, it feels like it's a hit song. Technically, it wasn't a hit.
I hear you.
Records do sell.
They do, and she was on SNL last year, and that's one of the songs.
Horrible.
I liked her. I like her a lot, actually.
Oh my God.
SNL? I like her.
I'm like, can somebody smack this bitch and make her move?
Because her performance.
Her performance was horrible, and her singing voice is.
That's okay. I like her. I'm a fan.
So it's just real life.
Let me check it out.
There's not a. Yeah, we'll chat about it.
Michael, did you get a chance to listen to any of the Great Gatsby?
I heard the snippets.
What did you think?
You know how I feel about snippets. Tread lightly, motherfucker.
No. I like that some of it is geared towards music of the time. Like, there's a Fergie song in there. It's kind of, it starts out a little
bit. I love Fergie.
A little more 1920-ish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Will I Am one starts out too, but it's goddamn Will
I
Am. I can't
fucking
stand
hate
them.
Will. Yeah, fuck Will I Am.
Why you gotta take my words?
So, all right. There's a couple new videos and singles out. Birdman has a song called Tap Out.
Yeah, he does.
Which is horrible. The video is horrible.
Whoa, wait a minute.
It is horrible.
I like
Nicki Minaj side boob.
That's extreme.
I like the glamour that they're trying to bring back. It's a, the 1920s.
I enjoyed
I like
the video.
I like the chandeliers. I like the long curtains. I appreciate it.
Do you mean the glamour of the video when Nikki is singing about her $1 million pussy? Yeah.
with the side
boob. That's glamour.
With the side. Yeah. And all the dudes with the tats walking down that expensive ass hallway. Yeah. That's the glamour you're talking about?
No, they look ignorant
and I don't like it.
That was kind of
beautiful though. It's the contrast between the hallway, all this money, and then like a thug nigga walking down the hallway. I thought Birdman sometimes I feel like he exploits the fact that he has the biggest. Yeah. No, she didn't do the call. I think sometimes he exploits the fact that he has the three biggest rappers on the planet on his record label.
Who are the three?
Nicki Minaj, Drake, and Lil Wayne.
Good for him.
He's winning.
He is winning.
You got all three of them on your label?
He's winning.
Don't sign anybody else. Just keep them three.
He's winning, but at what price?
Them on songs.
At what price is he winning?
He's winning because he's getting fucking paid. He's getting paid. Lil Wayne is under contract with that label.
Paris Hilton is in that video. Who else is in that video?
Kamora Lee.
Okay.
Kamora Lee is in it. And Christina Milian, who everybody was confused about. She signed the Young Money last year. That's why her album's coming out.
Michael mentioned one of the lyrics during our break. Michael, you wanna repeat that lyric that Lil Wayne has?
Oh, the opening one?
Oh. Yes.
Which, if you hating, you just need some pussy. Which, I mean, again, it touches on the glamour aspect of the video.
Repeat it, Michael. One more time. I'll try one more time.
If you hating, you just need some pussy.
Okay.
But wait, there's some truth in that.
I think you might be turning Crescent on a little bit. Say it one more time.
You want me to drop a few octaves? I can say it a little slower.
I want to make clear. Sex does heal. So let's not.
Lil Wayne is a gremlin.
You have a problem.
You have to stop saying
Wayne.
That. It's old now.
No, I don't care.
You got to find a new preacher to equate him with.
Lil Wayne's a gremlin. I will keep saying
gremlin.
It.
I like Lil Weezy.
Why don't they feed him after midnight then?
I like Lil Weezy. The video was okay. I'm not crazy about the song. I wish the song was just
average. It's like anything else that's out there. But the video, I watched it, and normally when I watch these videos, because I could tell he spent a lot of money on the video.
He did.
Because the white dude in the video, the cute white dude, he's a regular working actor. I can't remember what I've seen him
in. He's cute.
Yeah, he was cute. I can't remember what I've seen him in, but when he figured everything out, he got mad. What the fuck? Where's my shit? And when Christina coyly smiled at Paris, Crescent, she missed that part.
Whatever, I don't care.
Well, what I appreciate about the video is that they're trying. They're making an attempt at art.
It's more theatrical than a typical rap video. Way more than they usually are. And I appreciate that.
So I'm giving them credit for
that. That's not new. Back in the day when it came.
Stop it. It's not new currently.
When they used to spend $1 million on a
fucking
video.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about now.
They used to have these elaborate ass storylines. They didn't do shit. Whatever.
No, they don't. The budgets don't exist for the videos.
We are moving on.
This is the first video we've seen in a long time that was theatrical from a rapper because he has the money to waste on
whatever on them.
No
whatever.
Thriller, dude. It's
you know
no
what?
Thriller.
Put your money in it.
You're right.
It's
no thriller.
It ain't tip drill either.
How about this? Put some money in the damn community. Fund a school. Educate some goddamn little black kids.
Oh, here she goes.
Whatever.
Here she goes.
There's another artist.
Lil Wayne.
After midnight.
That guy a sandwich.
So Pusha T has a song out called Numbers on the Boards. And here's the thing. I actually did want you guys to look at this video because I was curious to see.
He has a video for it?
Oh, my God. Moving on. So David Bowie also has a song. Yes, he has a video for it. And it's really dark and kind of like odd. So that's why I was curious to get you guys' opinion on it.
It's a total opposite of the other video.
It is. It is.
Well, the thing about Pusha T that always kind of elicits some sort of discussion is the fact that, you know, a lot of he's half of the Clips. His brother is named Malice.
Right.
Malice found God.
Oh, that's so what
Malice,
happened?
Yeah, okay. Malice raps about God. He wrote a book. Mm-hmm. He's very religious now. So Pusha T started, you know, fucking with Kanye, and then he got signed to Good Music.
Okay.
So when Consequence had beef with Kanye and left Good Music,
okay,
it's turning into the new Bad Boy because everybody leaves that fucking label. Teyana Taylor was on 106 in Park, representing. Then a couple weeks ago, she was like, I'm not on it. But Consequence left. Kid Cudi just left Good Music.
Okay.
But the thing with Pusha T is that Consequence was being interviewed, and he's like, I don't think that nigga's album is ever coming out. He's been on that label For I don't know how long.
So so to that point, watch the video. It's just interesting. It's dark. Like it's just it's.
What do you mean by dark?
Like literally, like no lighting wise. Like it's just dark. Like he goes kind of in and out of shadows, and like his rhyme is really sort of erratic. Like it's fast and it slows down. Like it's I was curious, Michael.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Yeah,
to be quite
exactly.
honest, I'm just like
what's happening?
Where's the hook? Where's the? And maybe I'm too simple.
You know what that
simplistic,
is?
Simplistic, but
that's Kanye's influence, and it's getting too artsy. Like sometimes the fucking art form sometimes just needs to be pure. And Kanye is being artful with the shit, and he probably told him,
you know,
just jump all over the place.
That's a good point because it's almost like spoken word with really shitty camera and somebody playing on like.
Yeah.
Not like, you know those guys that drum outside Grand Central Station on the buckets and stuff? Mm-hmm. That's the music.
It's odd. Like like you said,
I really have to watch.
Like you said, Michael, I was confused. I wasn't exactly sure what was going on. So the last new video song that came out was David Bowie called The Next Day. I was kind of okay about it. Did you watch that one, Michael?
I did. The video is...
I guess I watched everything.
Go ahead, Michael.
Funny.
Go ahead, Michael.
I just got reprimanded. She almost hit me. My mom almost hit me.
I barely heard the song because the video is so wacky.
Isn't it odd?
And the song is basically sounds like just about every other David Bowie song.
Yeah, it does. So. But I love David Bowie. He can do no wrong in my eyes.
I think he's taking a stab at the Catholic Church.
The last time I fucked with David Bowie was when he did I'm Afraid of Americans. That was the last good song he's ever made.
China Girl?
No. China Girl came out before I'm Afraid of Americans. I'm Afraid of Americans came out about 8 years ago.
All right, Lauryn Hill got sentenced to 3 months in jail.
She deserves it.
Ooh la la la.
I'm so don't fuck with her. Like she.
You're hurting me, Antoine.
I'm telling you, Tina, you know what?
When you get
in front of the judge and you start spouting off, like, you start turning into, what's my guy's name?
Leslie Snipes?
No, Michael, the guy who said who's too wordy, the black dude.
Oh, Michael Eric Dyson?
She turned into Michael Eric Dyson in front of the judge.
You are hilarious.
Yes. I get stuck up. And it was like, bitch, just tell us why you went underground.
You are so funny.
Don't use big words.
She tried to tell you.
Blah, 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 blah. It's like, I just want a fucking album out of you. I don't want to hear about the industrial fucking prison complex that she's trying to avoid.
She's a product of slaves. She's a child of slaves.
I need some more education. Fuck
no,
you.
No,
apparently she was miseducated when it comes to taxes.
And her daughter, look, the daughter looks so well adjusted. I saw the daughter with Rohan, the father. The daughter looked like a perfectly well-adjusted teenager that goes to a regular high school. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with your mama? Like, the daughter's gorgeous, by the way.
Lauren, I have your back 100%.
No, you don't.
I do. It is so hard out here, especially in artists. Artists deal with things that people can't imagine, and I'm not even there yet, so I can't imagine what she does.
10 years, Tina.
No.
She has a business manager to deal with taxes.
No, artists really do. She's tapped into other things. Maybe she's dealing... No. Until you walk in her shoes, you cannot judge what she's going through.
I'm an artist.
Michael.
You're not Lauryn Hill.
Michael.
Artist.
Michael, you have something to say?
Again, you know.
We both are artists.
Artists create, and this bitch ain't came out with shit in a decade. You are not an artist.
10 seconds.
Oh, she's created. Maybe it's not. She hasn't given...
She created babies. Bob Marley's
well,
son.
Well, that is a lot. That is creation in itself. That's the biggest...
All right, we are wrapping up segment two.
And even though she doesn't give that art out to the world, doesn't mean that she's not creating.
And we're done
with stuff. We need to give her a break. I love you, Lauren.
I'm not giving her a break.
We're done.
I stopped loving you 8 years ago.
No, he doesn't mean that. He
doesn't mean
that.
You learned 3 chords.
I love you, Lauren.
You learned 3 chords and thought you could do a double album.
That CD that she gave you years ago.
I'm done with her.
You gotta have her back for the rest of your life just because of that CD. That CD was amazing.
Did you hear her new single that she dropped?
Okay, maybe we're not done. I don't know what's...
She dropped a single. Tina, did you hear it?
I didn't.
Horrible. The reason she was able to pay her tax bill was because Sony signed her to do an EP. They paid her $1 million. That's how she paid her tax bill. New song. Craziest. She's rapping, not even singing. Horrible song.
Here's my point. My last point with Lauryn Hill is that she had more than enough legit advisors around her.
Yeah.
And she is more than intelligent enough. Tina, don't. For real.
I swear she's smarter than anybody in this fucking room.
She is not stupid.
Is.
Now, whoa. I do think
she's fucking smart.
I think there's something going on emotionally with her soul.
She is emotionally and mentally unstable.
There's something up there. And I do love her, Tina. I'm with you on that. I love her as a black woman. As a black woman, I feel for her. But seriously, Ma.
She's on a Nina Simone.
You should have paid the IRS.
She's a Gemini. Nina Simone.
She's a Gemini. That's how
she's
they
Nina
are sometimes.
You should have paid the IRS. Michael?
Yeah, I, you know, I'm not gonna go so far to say as I love her, but She, it's simple. There's somebody, she has a business manager, somebody, you just don't not pay your taxes. No. April 15th and April 16th, they throw you in jail.
Exactly.
My point is, you knew somebody kept talking to you and said, and she made a conscious decision. I'm going to check myself out of this on some esoteric universal spirituality. I don't believe in the system. Bullshit, ma. No. IRS is coming for the money now. And other people were talking about the GE gets to get away with shit. Romney.
They're strategic, though.
Romney gets to hide his funds over like offshore accounts. Okay.
Her managers know how to do the
same
shit.
And ma, you didn't do that. They took steps to do it. Yes. You didn't do that. Now you're in trouble. I don't want to see you in jail. I think that's a problem. But this is the consequences.
If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I will end up in jail just like her. It's not discriminatory. Exactly. That's every fucking American is supposed to be taxes. Nobody likes doing it.
All right, hold tight. Coming right back with segment three. Thank you. Bye-bye.
She'll have more street cred when she gets out.
That's where I'm gonna end it.
Whatever.
Segment three. Thank you. Thank you for staying with us on this crazy ride today. Our special guest, Michael Garwood, who's been rolling with us the entire show. Thank you, Michael, for joining in.
Yep.
Michael Garwood is the founder and owner of Avidus, Inc., a professional search firm based in Los Angeles, California.
That's my nigga.
Avidus has successfully focused on the placement of sales, technical, and executive level professionals nationwide for the last 10 years. He has assisted several prominent corporations throughout the years with their recruitment needs in the area of sales, IT, operations, and executive. These companies include Citigroup, Ingersoll Rand, Wells Fargo, and Yahoo. His success comes from his commitment to excellence and his ability to build solid, long-term relationships with clients and candidates.
I am not on board with this. Oh, are you fucking kidding
Michael
me?
Michael earned a bachelor's degree from the University of Wisconsin. Can I finish?
Yes.
He enjoys watercolors, spelunking, and long walks.
That's the only interesting part of that entire bio.
Welcome, Michael.
Watercolors
welcome.
And spelunking. Hi, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Hi again.
So I cannot have all this fucking praise being just...
Well, he's our guest.
It's not praise. It's just...
He's our guest.
It's a standard bio.
He's our guest.
That Antoine. Is not a standard bio.
So how did you decide to get into...
I didn't list my height on there.
What is your height, Michael?
He's 6'1".
I'm 6'1".
Ooh, that's nice.
So nice hands.
And you know, for years, I didn't believe him. And then one night, we were out.
Really? You didn't believe him?
No, because I always thought, you know what it is? Because I'm wider than him. I always felt like we were the same height. But no,
You're wider, but I'm longer. Is that what you're saying?
He's taller than me.
Okay, so.
I'm like 70 pounds heavier than him.
Michael, how did you get into recruitment?
I was actually recruited by a recruiting agency while I was in college. So I really didn't know much about recruitment outside of military recruiters that were trying to get me to join in high school. Mm-hmm. But I was recruited by this agency. Got my training and my start there.
He worked in a prison also.
That's another story.
I know. And that has nothing to do with him being a recruiter He worked in a prison and he's got some stories. When we have him back,
yes,
we may have a prison stories episode.
When? How long did you work in a prison?
It was a 6-month contract for the Department of Corrections.
Wow, I'm sorry. Is that
he worked inside the fucking prison?
Yeah, I've been inside a maximum security.
Well, this
cell
was
block.
Before you started your recruitment company.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
I'm
that was before
put,
I moved to LA.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying.
This
to
was
put
before
it
I knew him.
So yeah, that's we. A, this yeah. just we're talking obviously about.
I'm sorry, I threw. I knew that would be interesting to you. I had to throw that out there.
It's
I
fine.
Just.
It's
I've been.
Cool.
To,
yeah.
I've been to some places.
Preston's
some
a little
stuff.
Pissed right now because he feels like you could have told me that before.
No,
maybe
I'm
we could have incorporated
not relevant,
that.
But it's not relevant to the topic.
It's fucking interesting.
That's
though.
Not it at all. I mean, it is interesting. I'm not upset about the new information. I'm just trying to figure out where we're going with the segment. that's
do
really
we,
it.
Well, do we ever completely know where we're
yes,
going?
Yes, we do.
Did you say, did I miss it? What did you do in the prisons? What did you do? Sorry, what did you do?
It was actually an IT contract. So I was hired to help do basically a computer system rollout for the corrections facilities throughout Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
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 But I had to go into a cell block.
So wait. So you've had experiences where like they've yelled shit out at you you walk through.
Really?
Tell us something that they said.
I mean, I've been called bitch a few times in prison.
Come on, you got something better than that.
You can get called that in Hollywood.
Right, exactly.
They were just kind of move, like a couple guys moved.
I'll tear that
their,
ass up, white
shit.
Boy. Have you ever heard that before?
They showed you their shit.
Yeah, he shook his head. Yes, yeah. Yes. He said yes. He's heard that
well,
before.
Well, I mean, it was a maximum security cell block. It was total chaos in there.
Okay.
And like one, Yeah, that particular, I had two guards with me, and I just had to go in to swap out this computer, which was not connected to the outside world for obvious reasons. I just had to swap it out. And then make sure that it was certain features of it were dismantled so that they couldn't use it for anything.
Jesus.
Yeah. And it was chaotic already in there because this guy had been in the infirmary apparently and had missed his lunch. So he was going nuts because food is a big deal there. Exactly. It's pretty much the only thing you got going. And other than the free workouts. And so he was going nuts and literally throwing shit around. And so the whole place was kind of hyped up. Yeah. And then here I walk in, my khakis and my button down. Aww. All of what, 24, 25 years old?
And, oh, my goodness.
Fresh meat.
Exactly. So, I had some propositions.
There's a Boondocks episode.
The neighbor.
They were all locked up.
Yeah, with the uptight black guy character
he
on the show.
He was afraid of being anally. He's like, I can't go to prison. I can't be anally raped.
But I think he had on khakis and a button down.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And there was, the worst part was, like, that was fine because they were in the cells, but I still had two guards with me. But I remember a couple scenarios in that maximum security prison where they would be walking to the yard, and then we would have to be, it just worked out timing wise.
Like crossing.
In like this little atrium area or whatever. And it got a little uncomfortable. Like, I remember one guy had a shoulder thrown into him, and then another one, I forget, some, obviously there were some comments, but they were like literally a group of guards with us, but maybe like three.
Yeah.
And then there was only maybe two or three guards watching the line, and shit got weird really fast. Yeah. And that was actually scarier than going into the cell block.
I'm sure.
Okay, unemployment. So,
But I can make a hell of a shank out of a toothbrush.
Just out of curiosity, this has to do with the topic, but nothing to
not
do with
at
the
all.
Topic.
Nothing to do with it.
But we had this question the other day at work. If you had to go to prison, like you did something wrong, and you could either... Wait, no, just answer. Just real quick. No, just answer. Just answer.
It works.
Yeah. 1 year in prison, maximum security, like tough prison, or 3 years in the military. What would you choose?
Military.
Whoa. We talk about wartime military?
Right now.
Yeah,
right now.
I'm on the front lines. What I mean, is it random? Like when you is it like I don't know where I'm gonna end up in the military?
We have no idea.
Russian roulette.
Like, we have no idea. You're gonna go into the army and get trained.
I'm not going
to. I would do the military because I could take pride in that at least. And if something happened, I could still take pride in it.
So 3 years, you'd rather take 3 years in the military versus 1 year in a maximum.
Oh
secret.
Yeah, I appreciate yeah,
that.
I really
you said,
would.
You
I really
said
would.
Military too?
I'm not going to jail.
Okay,
for anybody.
What would you?
I really would do the
for
military.
Well, I wouldn't consider military service the same as prison. So yeah, I mean, I'm assuming you're getting paid.
She's not looking at it, and she's looking at it.
Oh, it's one or the other.
Both
or
are dangerous.
Either? Oh,
and the one, like, you could be anally raped repeatedly. And you, I'm just telling you, like, if you get put in the spot, you're gonna be anally raped repeatedly. You're like a pretty white boy, so
no,
you're gonna be anally raped. You say that now, but
the first thing I would do is find me a boyfriend.
He is then going to anally rape you repeatedly.
Anyone who dates me knows I'm a tease. I would do the military because you can still walk around, you get paid, you
I
can
like
drink.
I'm helping my country.
Absolutely.
Too,
then I
like
then
that.
I come out and I get veterans benefits and stuff.
I'm surprised.
Maybe
everybody,
you know, there's a backlog. Of
yeah, everybody says the military.
You would do prison.
I would do the military too.
Yeah.
Okay, so
same workout.
I don't want to be anally raped.
Yeah. As part of the show flow, I posted a bunch
Most
of articles.
Most people would think I'd want to be anally raped, but I don't.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody does.
As part of the show flow, I posted a bunch of links.
Not raped, though. No, not raped.
About unemployment, since we're all talking to each other, doesn't really matter what I'm saying.
Anally rape is more important right now.
Who cares?
I'm sorry.
Who cares?
We only care about being anally
raped. Okay, wait, we're going to be quiet.
Whatever. I don't.
Where's the wine at? Oh my God, Chris.
So
I'll fix it in post.
Michael,
yeah.
There was a bunch of articles that I posted about the current employment situation in the U.S.
Right.
What have you noticed in terms of, I mean, you place people. So has it gotten better? Are we in a better place now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not, I mean, I can only relate it to the clients that I deal with, but I think as a whole, it is getting a bit better, which is not unusual to see typically in second and third quarter.
Okay.
Just about any year.
Okay.
Just, it's kind of, tends to be a hiring pattern with most organizations.
Yes.
So, you know, fourth quarter budgets are kind of burned and everyone's looking forward to the next year. And then first quarter, everyone's just kind of getting a handle on.
Are we in second quarter
right now?
Okay. Because a lot of people don't know actually what first quarter is.
Yeah, if you base
quarter,
it off of the calendar year, it's, you know, the through January through March.
It's first quarter.
Yeah.
And March through what?
April through June.
April through June. Thank you.
Yeah, and then so on and so forth.
Okay, cool. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely have seen an uptick in hiring and the numbers.
An uptick?
Yeah.
Since when?
I would say even the last year.
Last year?
Definitely a year, yeah.
Okay.
One article in New York Times mentions that Washington may be hitting the brakes, sequester-wise and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The private sector is still rolling ahead, helping create nearly 200,000 jobs a month on average since the beginning of the year and forcing the overall unemployment rate in April down to its lowest level since the end of 2008. However, later in an article, they mentioned that still at 7.5%, a slight drop from last month's 7.6%, the jobless rate remains far higher than it typically would be this far into a recovery. So that's from a New York Times article. So go ahead, Michael.
No, I was going to say, well, that's, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, the private sector is always going to be ahead of the government.
Okay, that makes
sense. So, yeah, and that's really what's going to pull us out of, if there's, I guess you could argue whether we're still in the recession or not. But
it has to be the private sector, right? Because everybody's not employed by the government.
Exactly.
And especially and they can't be. The cutbacks with sequester stuff. I mean, like those public
that's,
sector
it's definitely
jobs.
Hurting us, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
but it's
the
not,
thing.
Yeah, overall, it's got to be the private sector because that's what fucking supports our fucking economy is the private sector.
Well,
am I wrong on that? That's correct.
That's
right?
Where all the money's coming from.
Yeah, that's where all the money comes from. So,
well, it is interesting, you know, that the government is actually releasing people and furloughing and these sorts of things, and at the same time, they're as of January, they increased payroll taxes. So, they're kind of a bigger issue than all of these terrible corporations that we love to talk about.
Do we attribute the success or growth to Obama?
I mean, that would be a great story to tell, but
I don't.
No. Here's the thing:
just be the cycles of life. It doesn't have to be.
President Obama is simply one person,
right?
So you can't put this all on his shoulders, and at the same time, he can't ride this wave all by
himself. But historically, that's what we do. When it happens, we do give the credit to one person.
He's the guy. Right. But
obviously, you have a different. You know, your insight is different. So
I don't.
Do we give him any credit for the change that's occurring? Because I read. I'm a layperson, you know this, so we don't talk a whole lot about what you do because I wouldn't understand everything. But
it's boring.
it'd be boring. Like I'd rather
tell
you
prison
know,
stories,
pop some mollies with you. So is it a thing where I read like a couple like maybe a week or so ago it said that we added 180,000 jobs like the month before or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When I see that, I've been seeing that more often than not, where that number, like every other month, it seems like I'm reading that. And before, three years ago was we lost jobs. It was so now the deficit. Like I don't understand. How do you read into that? How do you see those numbers? Is that significant to you? Does that in any way, shape, or form reflect? What you do you see a change when those numbers increase? Do you see a change in what it is that you do as a recruiter?
Well, I think I probably see that, again, related only to my clients, I think I see the change in the numbers before the numbers are even released. You know,
okay. Like
these companies decided, and this is where, to get back to the question about do I credit the administration, I'd say no. I think it's a private sector that drives this. You know, small business and large businesses, because, as I said, if you look at, and I get it. They, you know, we're in a deficit. They need the money, but they're actually, I think, suppressing some of the growth. Being the government.
My question to you about the administration and giving credit to the administration, to the White House administration, executive branch. What are your feelings on the infighting and the stalemate that the GOP has actively spoken about, saying we're not going to support this president, even if it's something that makes sense for the country, even if it's something that over 90% of the population wants? And that I'm talking about, like background checks on gun control, but just policies that typically should be able to find some measure of bipartisan support, particularly given the fact that Obama and Democrats have bent over backwards at times, you know, sort of reaching out an olive branch to the other side. Saying,
I did not see this coming.
You sounded really smart in that question.
I did not see this coming.
She just sounded really smart in that question.
And you know what? Because I told her.
Because
I told her before, I was like, Mike is a little conservative.
So I'm curious.
Because both of us
are.
We classify. I'm just giving a really short background.
Good question, though.
Me and Mike are both independents, but he leans towards conservative. Blah, 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 and I'm a little more liberal. So. When we vote, because I'm not gonna put anybody on blast, but I had a problem with who we voted for last time.
Okay.
So, and it Gary, was not Romney. It Gary, was not Romney. He did Gary not Johnson. Vote for Romney.
This is Gary 5 Johnson. Minutes off, by the way.
Oh, it's fine. Well, I think we're good. I think we're good. So, yeah. So, I did not see this question coming.
I'm just curious, but
was
again.
Was Johnson, who, what Johnson?
Libertarian candidate.
Oh, he was libertarian. Okay.
But it's more so, again, though, in terms of like our country as a whole and us working together, no matter who you are, Democrat, Republican, independent, purple, I don't care, purple state. What do you think about Washington as a whole and Congress and the Senate and like how they're all interacting?
It's a mess. I mean, it's okay. Two kids fighting over the ball, you know, that they want to play with, and it's a detriment to the entire country. And both
do you
both
not
sides are
do
guilty,
you
though.
Not? But here's something, because I know we've had a conflict about this before. For me, when I look at it, I really see it's almost like when I look at bad acts. When I look at it, I feel like if you look at the conservatives and you look at how many have been caught in scandals and this, that, and other, it really, the balance is off when you look at conservatives and liberals. It really is. Conservatives seem to have this, they're introverted, they're secretive, and these truths come out like you're a fucking senator for 20 years and you have a gay fucking boyfriend. You were doing the tap, tap. And I think there really, for me, there's an incongruence there between conservatives and liberals. And I know.
I mean, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but actually, Jon Stewart just talked about it. He actually called out a bunch of Democrats on his show this past week. And then Anthony Weiner, whatever his name is, with
I agree.
So, I mean, I think
the accusations are always lighter, though, with the Democrats.
A little bit. I agree. You're right.
You're mad over that. And then with the Republicans, it always goes against something that they actively supported. It's like you went hard in the paint on fucking gay marriage.
And yet and you, here
fucking,
you are.
Look at this. This is a mess.
Okay. So,
and you are tapping your foot in a fucking bathroom in Nordstrom's.
Or your son is gay or your daughter is gay.
Yes.
So, but again, the major point that I was trying to make, which is actually one of the co-sponsors of the background checks for the gun control bill mentioned, is that there are Republican senators who actively said, yes, this makes sense. Yes, I know my constituents want to support it, but we cannot support the president. No. Period.
Well, and I'm not going to get soapboxy here, but you know, that's the problem with the two-party system is you have to.
Oh, yeah. That's
I mean, it's Crips and Bloods, right? I mean,
you
got to wear your colors.
That's a great fucking comparison.
I love
that's
it.
That's a great fucking comparison.
I have another question for you about hiring people. What's in a name? So when resumes are coming into you, what's in a name versus Shaquan Williams.
I wouldn't
hire Shaquan.
Versus Eric O'Malley or Aaron O'Brien or Rebecca Smith. Like when you see a resume with a name on it.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the problem. It all depends on who's reading it.
Okay.
So, you know, if an image is immediately conjured from the name and that person has a certain sensitivity or prejudice and then the name could be, you know, Rishi Patel, right?
Rishi Patel, okay.
You think another that's example? Indian dude that barely speaks English,
right? And then you know, wow. And then if you're not,
you are.
Well, and then you know, you could go so many levels with it, right? Like, is he going to need sponsorship? And does our company not sponsor visas?
Right.
And so
you also have to be sensitive to this. This is a question. Because I know you very well. I know that you wouldn't be prejudiced. You would look at the credentials. If Shaniqua is fucking representing with the credentials, he's going
to
recommend her for the job.
Excellent.
But at the same time, he has to be cognizant of the person that he is working for and no sensitivity. Yeah. So,
well, that's what I'm asking.
That's interesting to me. Like, do you have to be cognizant of? Does someone ever even tell you? Well, you know, we don't want that element.
So go.
No, Michael. I definitely get preferences.
Oh, see, it does happen.
And but in both directions. I had a company, large company, where they had this mandate that I think it was 50 or 60% of their hires had to be diverse.
Okay.
And including women.
That's fucking amazing. That's actually good.
Well, it was also a challenge because in that particular industry it was engineers, and one, there aren't a lot of female engeners, and then
it's not
secondly,
a lot of minorities in that yeah, it's mostly white.
Exactly. So there it became a challenge because you could have a very qualified candidate, but they weren't qualified simply for the fact that they were.
Yeah, and you don't want to fast track somebody because it's a female, and then she's like she's had shitty jobs or whatever. It's like, but they want minorities. It's like, I hate it when that happens.
So, okay. So again, and that you said it was a little challenging. Were you able to find qualified, diverse candidates?
Yeah, but not at the rate in which they wanted to hire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not in the numbers. When you say rate, you mean the numbers.
Right.
Okay.
So, but then to go to the other side of it, I've had clients that say, I would really prefer someone a little more masculine in this role.
Oh.
Wow.
Or would prefer, someone from this part of the country. Or
do they ever say color? Color? Do they ever mention ethnicity?
I've never had anyone.
So wait,
that's almost a legal thing. They can't say that.
Right. Antoine, when you said someone says from this part of the country, what is that about? They're like, they want someone from the South. They want someone from the East Coast. They want someone from the Midwest.
Well, did I say from a part of the country? I'm from this country. I'm sorry.
I didn't. That's why I was like, wow. I was like, I want somebody from the South.
They don't want an Indian engineer.
That's what I'm asking. So that you were like,
and then you do get those conversations, which are totally legit. If the company, has no more visas to sponsor.
Yeah, no, that is relevant. That's definitely relevant.
But in that situation, it's delicate.
They'd be like, no Nigerians. Nigga.
So stop it. But to your point, because
we love Nigerians, by the way.
I'm going to choke you. So to the point of your making about because of the industries you're placing people in, the visa issue that sounds pretty prominent, like with
sometimes they're needed, sometimes they're needed, they have them. There's only so many that you can sponsor.
But no, I guess my point is, it sounds like you get a lot of resumes though from people who are not American citizens. So you're getting stuff from just
possibly
all over the place.
Yeah, or you never really
depends
know.
Depends on the job. If it's an IT position, you're going to get resumes from people that are not.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I'm like,
for pharmaceutical even the medical profession.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, focusing again on like the industries that he's specializing in. There's obviously going
to
be like,
I wish he fucking recruited for my goddamn industry, because I ain't never been able to use him to get a goddamn job. It's nothing that I do.
I've helped you get jobs.
Actually, you know what he did? Actually, he gave me emotional support to push me into a job. He really did. We were working at Best Buy. He moved on. I got a phone call, and they recruited me to go to another company. And he was like, fucking go. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, my friends are here. And he's like, fucking take
those
jobs.
Were you in computers or TV?
Michael.
I was in PCHO, which is personal computer and home office.
Yes.
Michael. We worked in... This is one of my best friends.
I have
a
question
guy.
For him too.
Go ahead.
Okay, my question goes back to your politics, and I just want you to educate me for a second.
I had a question about jobs. I had a question about jobs.
Okay, we'll go back to that. But when you, I appreciate what your honesty in saying that you voted libertarian, because nobody says that. And I'm just curious. Hello, we're having a conversation.
I'm sorry.
And I'm just curious. The person that you voted for, just tell me why, because everyone is always Romney or Obama, and I just educate me. Real
well,
quick.
He was actually a former Republican governor. And
I was so pissed that he voted for this motherfucker.
Everyone
I was really mad at you for this.
Everyone is mad. Everyone was mad. My Republican friends were mad. My Democrat friends were mad. The fact of the matter was, Libertarian Party is not perfect.
I thought you were a little bit of a pussy when you did that.
Stop. Could you let him talk?
Listen, I'm not going to waste.
You overpower people.
I overpower people.
Yes.
Am I powerful?
Ooh. The fact of the matter is, Obama was going to win California regardless of who I voted for.
True.
So true. I chose to vote with my conscience feel actually good about the person I voted for.
And you felt good about that?
Absolutely.
But just tell me why. I want to know.
And
why.
Last time I checked, it is my vote.
Tina wants to know why.
He's checking me.
Tina wants to know why.
I just want to know why, because we're so inundated with Romney, Obama.
Tina wants to know why.
We just don't get to hear about the other parties. And yes, I should research, but I don't.
Well,
and
that's,
so I
that's the master. Work of the media.
Tell me why you liked your guy. You're libertarian.
Well, it's more of a middle of the road approach, and that's
he and I
thought.
Both
like
are more libertarian than we're more libertarian than Democratic.
Antoine,
or
stop interrupting Michael.
Wait,
Antoine, stop interrupting.
I do
want
to hear. I want him to finish.
Because to put me in a box. You said I'm more conservative. I'm fiscally conservative, and I'm socially, I'd say, moderate.
I admire you on the show all the time when I talk about. Republicans being fiscally
conservative. He can't help himself.
No other person I think of.
Tina.
And I tell people on the show, I'm like, I don't have everything against Republicans. They are fiscally conservative.
Okay.
My friend Mike is fiscally conservative.
We're wrapping up. Tina, did you get your question answered?
No,
I'm sorry. Let him finish. I'm sorry. We do have enough time.
I want to know why.
I'm going to be quiet.
Well, I don't think anybody agrees 100% down the line with their party. And if you do, then I think that's a concern. But there's aspects of, I think I kind of see the Libertarian Party as the middle of the road.
Okay.
Where, they are more about civil liberties, they're less about big government, and, they're a little bit looser on the drug stuff than I would prefer to be, but, and I'm not that strict about the drug policies either, but, So I find my, of the options that exist, that's probably most in line. But I am a registered independent, so it's not like I'm
Okay, so Tina, did you get your question answered?
No, I appreciate that. I'm going to check out libertarians. Because
Are you an independent or are you a Democrat? No, we don't have time for that. No, question for you. When you're interviewing people, when you're interviewing people,
yeah.
and they mispronounce a word, how do you feel about that?
She smacked.
When they mispronounce a word?
Yes, while you're interviewing them.
Yeah, it's not great.
Okay.
Don't use a word you don't know how to pronounce.
I agree.
And to get back to your original question about the names.
Yes.
On the resume, honestly, what's more important to me is the structure of the resume and the information that is on it. And, you know, spelling mistakes, these sorts of, I know it sounds very old school, but at the end of the day, that is
how. Well, you have to pay attention to detail. If you don't pay attention to detail on a fucking page.
Let him finish.
You'd be amazed, though. It's like, it's your professional representation of yourself. And people take it a little bit too cavalier.
So. I love it. All right, last remarks. Go, Antoine. Mm. Last remarks, Tina.
I'm going last.
Tina.
Can I ask him a question as my last remark?
Yes.
So if people need to get a job right now, what do you recommend that they do?
That's a great fucking question.
That's not a last remark, though.
It's a good question, though.
What do they need to do?
Do they contact somebody like
get
you?
Get your life.
What does someone that is in desperate need of a job?
They have a
decent resume and they really want a job right now.
I think you have to work with your network and you have to reach out to the people that know you and respect you and then try to get into their companies.
Networking is the answer. That's what you said.
And these should be people that you know because companies.
We're okay because this one. I'm saying this one is okay. We're okay. I have a question.
Finish that or?
Yeah, finish. Please.
No. I mean, most companies prefer an employee referral over an applicant, an everyday applicant. So that's why.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
Good to know.
What I wanted to ask you was, I just went blank on it. Do people still submit cover letters?
Yeah.
It has changed though, hasn't it?
Yeah.
In the past decade, its cover letters are not.
Yeah.
It's changed, right?
People still do it. It doesn't bother me if someone doesn't have one. But
do you prefer that someone just submit a resume without the cover letter because it's like fluff? You just want to fucking get to the nitty gritty?
That's a good question.
Well, I think you're better, and I give this advice to everybody. I think you're better to have multiple resumes that highlight different aspects of your background.
Okay. I agree.
As opposed to having to explain it in a cover letter because most recruiters like me deal with such a high volume. Particularly corporate recruiters deal with such a high volume of applicants because so many people are applying that they're probably not going to read your cover letter anyway.
Okay.
What you want to do is have, I typically say three resumes that are geared towards specific aspects of what you've done.
Right.
Or gear your resume towards the job that you're applying for. Now, don't lie, but be sure to highlight the experience that you have that is most in line.
Can you literally highlight it on the resume? We have literally run out of time.
No, we're not. We are actually not okay. We're not okay.
We have last remarks. Two These are hour last shows remarks. Before.
This is last remarks. Go.
Okay, so I'm a graphic designer with a political science degree.
Oh my God.
What would I do? What do you think? What's your advice here?
Like, Oh my God.
Well, if it's an immediate need, I would go after contracts first and foremost, and then a contract could lead you into a full-time position.
Do I submit resumes for the contracts?
You can talk absolutely. To him about this offline.
And I just emphasize the things that I've done. Do I give them web addresses to websites I've designed?
Well, I mean, your portfolio is more your resume than your resume. Okay. Yeah.
Then that's good. That's good to know.
All right, people. We are actually going on hiatus for 2 weeks, so there will not be a new episode for a couple weeks. Just, you know, hold tight. Listen to some past episodes.
Crescent is a nigger.
Michael Garwood, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Militant nigger.
I'm going to choke Crescent. Antoine later. Antoine. Tina.
MNC is her nickname. Militant
Tina has
nigger
some beautiful
Crescent.
Earrings. I just want to say that. They're gorgeous.
They are cute. I'm loving that whole outfit.
I've been staring at them all afternoon.
I almost wore the same
thing. This is, thank you.
And Michael will be back.
That's great. Yeah. Wonderful. We, of course, want you back.
We will probably do a road trip to Vegas because it's going to be in Vegas for a couple months.
I can't wait.
We'll go to Vegas and record there. I'll just bring all the shit with me.
Awesome. We've now made
He's a great host, too. He fucking does the best.
We've now made the white boy late. It was 3:00 and it's now 3:09. He wants
to leave. Oh, it's 3:09? Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so,
that's all right. I'm not getting pulled over for driving.
And on that note, welcome to the madness. Thank you.
Tune in for new episodes every Monday at www.themadnesscollective.com. We out this bitch. West Side. West Side. West Side. West Side.